Hello, everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
She would witness the horror of a 13-week-old struggling for life. For the first time, that ultrasound, that visual, would forever change the way she looked at the organization she fiercely and loyally supported, defended, and promoted for 8 years. What did she see? What did she do? And why was the organization known as Planned Parenthood so determined to stop her? Would you welcome with me today in this testimony exclusive, speaker, best-selling author, former director of Planned Parenthood, and now pro-life activist, Mrs. Abby Branham Johnson. Abby, welcome to Testimony.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Abby, your book, Unplanned, has been featured on Christian Broadcasting Network and almost every major news, radio, and television network since its release in 2010, a year after your decision to walk away as director of the Planned Parenthood Abortion Clinic in Bryan, Texas. For part one of our conversation today, Abby, can you bring us to that day you call the ultrasound, resulting in your defection from Planned Parenthood? And then for part two, I'd like to continue our discussion on the ramifications of abortion in this country, the propaganda supporting it, and your efforts combined with your faith to stop it. Abby, please tell us that story.
Well, I, like you said, I'd worked for Planned Parenthood for 8 years, and I was called in to assist in a different type of abortion procedure, one that would be using an ultrasound during the entire procedure so that the doctor would be able to see the unborn child on the monitor and see the unborn child during the abortion. These types of procedures are not very common in the abortion industry. It's not part of their protocol for the doctor to be able to see the child during the abortion, but this particular abortionist that day wanted to be able to use that as a teaching tool and a learning tool. And so I was in the room. My job was to hold the ultrasound probe on the woman's abdomen during the abortion. And I saw a 13-week-old child in the womb struggle and fight for his life during the abortion procedure. After that, I went back to my office and really felt like I had to make a decision. I didn't want to leave my job. I didn't want to leave this place that was comfortable for me. I didn't want to leave that stability. I didn't want to leave the income. But I knew that I had just witnessed something that went against, that flew in the face of everything that I believed abortion to be. I believed that it didn't have anything to do with the baby, that this is all about the mother and her decision. But clearly I was, you know, looking at this child struggle and fight for his life, and I knew that that disconnect that had been so prevalent for me for 8 years, that was now connected, and so I had to make a decision. I stayed at work for a week after I saw the abortion take place and didn't really know where to go, what to do. All of my friends were involved in the abortion industry, and so I had remembered that the people that were outside of the clinic with 40 Days for Life, they had always told me that they would be able to help me if I ever wanted to leave, and I felt like that was the only way out. I felt like that was the decision that I was going to have to make. I was going to have to trust people that I had been told were my enemy. And so I went to the pro-life group in my area and that ran the 40 Days for Life and basically just told them my story and told them that I wanted to leave and that I needed help. And the next day, that was on October 5th, and October 6th, I resigned from Planned Parenthood. And began, you know, just kind of this journey into the pro-life movement. And 3 weeks after I left, I got a phone call from a friend of mine that worked at Planned Parenthood, asking me different questions, asking me if I was, you know, working with a pro-life group there and all of this. And so it kind of prompted me to believe that word had gotten out that I had mm-hmm. left, and I had left not believing in abortion anymore. And that next day, I received a fax from Planned Parenthood letting them know that they were putting out a restraining order against me, a restraining order of disclosure, so I would not be able to talk about my time with Planned Parenthood, and they were going to take me to court. And we went to court the second week in November 10th, and basically it was kind of like David and Goliath, but we went in and just told the truth and told our story, and the judge threw out the court case, and I haven't heard from anyone in that affiliate since.
Now, that year was 2009 when you walked away from Planned Parenthood, correct?
Yes.
Now, before you entered Planned Parenthood, in your book, Unplanned, you talk about your own abortion the year before. And how old were you at that time?
I was 20 when I had my first abortion and 23 when I had my second.
Right. Now, I was very interested in reading your book, which is a fascinating read and a needed read, because you address both sides of the issue. One being, while you worked for Planned Parenthood, you were sincere in your effort to really help women. You cared for them. You loved counseling them, coaching them, giving them options. In your book, you talk about the three that Planned Parenthood gives, either to parent, adopt, or abort. So in your heart, the 8 years you were there, what I get reading out of your book is that you were coming from a sincere perspective. But what the danger is that I also read in your book was the way you were solicited into Planned Parenthood as a young woman. Can you talk about that and the strategy and the verbiage that they use to entice women as volunteers for Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, well, I didn't know anything about Planned Parenthood, actually, before I started to volunteer with them. The first abortion I had was at a private clinic. I didn't grow up around a Planned Parenthood, didn't know anything about them. I grew up pro-life. My parents were pro-life, but we didn't sit around and talk about it around the dinner table, or we didn't have conversations on abortion or about being pro-life or pro-choice. And so when I was first introduced to Planned Parenthood by this woman that was recruiting for volunteers, she started telling me about what Planned Parenthood believed, that they wanted to help men and women who were low income and help them, you know, get on birth control or help them get annual exams, and that a very, very small percentage of what the services they provided were actually abortion, and that their goal was to reduce the number of abortions every year, that they did not want women to make a decision to have an abortion, that they wanted, you know, all pregnancies to be planned and wanted. And for me, as someone who didn't know either side of the debate, that sounded pretty good to me. You know, they started talking about illegal abortion and how dangerous it would be if abortion became illegal, because women would be going to these back alleys. And, you know, as someone that had an abortion just the year previously, you know, I was thinking to myself, gosh, that, you know, that would be terrible. I'm glad that I was able to have a safe and legal option to terminate my child. And so all those things kind of resonated with me and almost sounded a little pro-life. I mean, pro-lifers, of course, want the numbers of abortions to decrease. They don't want women to choose an abortion. You know, I mean, all of these things, it just sounded kind of familiar. And so I made the decision then to basically trust what they were saying and begin volunteering for Planned Parenthood.
Now, you rose to prominence in the Planned Parenthood organization very quickly. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I did. I worked as a health center assistant, kind of low man on the totem pole, for only about a year, and then moved up to be the community services director. So I was in charge of fundraising and strategic planning for the group and media, donor relations, and things like that. And then I was only in that position for 1 year, and I was moved up to be the clinic director of the health center where I was working. And I was responsible for both the family planning and the abortion programs, and was responsible for making sure that we met our abortion and family planning quotas, that we performed enough abortions, worked up to that quota, and I was responsible for all the staff. I really loved my job. I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was doing what God wanted me to be doing. I went to church every Sunday. Then I worked at Planned Parenthood, and I thought that I was doing the right thing and helping women who were in crisis.
So, Abby, let me ask you this question. As a Christian, you had two abortions. How did you justify in your mind those two abortions, which you never talked about? You didn't tell your parents.
No.
You didn't tell your husband at that time, now your ex-husband, that you had these abortions. That must have been horrific for you to hold all of that inside. How did you justify that, and when did you decide to share it?
I don't really know exactly how I justified it, but I know that, you know, I thought, well, I should, you know, be able to control this and make this decision on my own. And, you know, God certainly wouldn't want me to have a child that I couldn't care for, or, you know, wouldn't be emotionally ready to handle. And, you know, God would want me to put myself first. And, I mean, and just those types of rationalizations and justifications. And, I mean, that's how you know it's sin, is if you're having to justify a decision that you're making. Because if something's right, you don't have to rationalize it or justify it. But I think that basically that was one of the things that kind of brought me into Planned Parenthood, was knowing that I justified these abortions for so long, and just kind of wanting everybody else to jump on the same sinking ship that you're on.
And what was amazing to me, your now husband, even though he opposed the work that you were doing, and across the other side of the fence, the Coalition for Life opposed what you were doing, yet they reached out to you in love. They never stopped loving you, which I thought was an interesting approach, rather than the in-your-face, you're horrible, you're wicked, you're going to hell, which didn't work for you and probably not a lot of other women who were considering the choice to abort, parent, or adopt. Abby, in our next segment, I want to talk more about Planned Parenthood and your efforts as a pro-life activist now. But I want to talk about a particular doctrine called the Jaffe Memo that you were not allowed to talk about, and give our audience a little more meat as to the origins of Planned Parenthood and what we can do to stop their efforts. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Abby Branham Johnson, best-selling author of Unplanned, former director of Planned Parenthood in Bryan, Texas, and now a pro-life activist. Abby, we look forward to having you back next week on Testimony. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony. She had just defected from an organization she called home for 8 years. She loved her job, helping women, counseling, protecting, guiding, leading, but to what end? The bitter reality would soon set in on the ramifications of her own abortions, and those she helped to assist with as director of the Planned Parenthood Abortion Clinic in Bryan, Texas. What caused the sincere and loving advocate of women to now turn against the organization she fought to defend and flee to those who had been praying for her all along, the Pro-Life Coalition? With us today for part two of her incredible true story is pro-life activist, speaker, and author of the best-selling autobiography, Unplanned, a must-read for those on both sides of the fence, as my next guest has been. It's an honor to have with us today Abby Branham Johnson. Abby, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you for having me on again.
Abby, in part one of our conversation last week, you talked about that fateful day, that ultrasound, that would forever change the way you viewed Planned Parenthood, and why after eight successful years, or so you thought, you walked away as its director, faced with a court battle, rejected by friends, and even your church. In this segment, I want to go even deeper, Abby, in exposing the real agenda of Planned Parenthood, its propaganda, and the memo you were not allowed to talk about, known as the Jaffe Memo, which was written in 1969 in response to Population Council President Bernard Berelson from then Vice President of Planned Parenthood, Frederick S. Jaffe. Then, Abby, bring us up to date on you and your efforts and how those of us listening can get in touch with you to learn more. Abby, we are all ears.
Well, Planned Parenthood's ultimate goal is to increase their number of abortions. They are interested in making as much money as possible off of abortion. Abortion is a cash business, even though 50% of insurance companies in the United States do pay for elective abortion. They're not really interested in being insurance providers because they want the cash up front. Planned Parenthood recently put out a mandate for all of their U.S. affiliates that every affiliate must be abortion providing by 2013. So you can see that clearly their goal is not to reduce the number of abortions, but to increase the number of abortions, which is exactly why they have quotas. They have a minimum amount of abortions that need to be performed every month. And if they are not performed, then people begin to lose their jobs because that is really how they make the majority of their money. Planned Parenthood's revenue statement shows that 51% of their revenue comes from abortion services. Just in 2010, which is the latest report that's available, they grossed over $1.2 billion, and $487 million of that money came from taxpayers, came from people like you and I. And so it's important that we are all paying attention and that we are all fighting at a state and federal level to keep Planned Parenthood out of our pocketbooks and to keep them honest.
Well, Abby, you are now married. You have a child, and I think you're getting ready to have another child. Am I correct about that?
Okay. That's right. Yeah.
So that's a blessing from the Lord, and we can thank God and praise God for that. But in your wanting to get some help with your current pregnancy, you made 18 calls to different insurance companies, and the reply was all the same. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I have private insurance, and thought, I was pretty sure that my insurance did not cover any sort of maternity benefits. And so I started to wonder if that was common, or if this was just something that was kind of an anomaly with my insurance carrier. And so I made 18 phone calls to 18 separate insurance companies and asked them all the same thing. Do you provide maternity care for people who are privately insured? So people that don't have, that are not part of a group plan with an employer, you know, were these private insurers allowed to receive maternity care? And all 18 of them told me that they were not. allowed to provide maternity insurance. And that reminded me of a memo that we were not to talk about inside of Planned Parenthood. And that was the memo that, you were referring to earlier. And it was written in 1969. And it was basically an appeal. Planned Parenthood was asked to give a solution to overpopulation in the country. And so they wrote a memo and talked about things like putting fertility control agents in the water supply to control fertility, to encourage homosexuality, even at a very young age, to cut off maternity benefits for women, to decrease the number of daycares in the United States, to force contraception on women, force abortion, force sterilization. And I started reading it again, rereading it. I found it and started rereading it, and I was thinking, my goodness, so many of these things are already taking place in our country. And just to see the difference from 1916, when the first Planned Parenthood was ever created in New York, to now that we're in 2012, it's amazing to see how many things on that memo, on that list, are already happening right here in our country.
You know, I have some notes from a previous interview that you gave to WorldNet Daily, and I just would like to read a couple of those for our audience. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Abby Johnson, former director of Planned Parenthood and now pro-life activist. In this memo, or in this report, the information reads that 4 years after the Jaffa Report was published in 1969, abortion was legalized in the U.S., and since that time, 54 million unborn children have been aborted, which averages about 3,000 babies being killed every day. It also goes on to say that there are more women than men now in the workforce, which is a goal of Planned Parenthood, that the unwed birth rate has increased by 300%, while the unmarried domestic partnership rate from that time through the turn of the century escalated almost sixfold. And another fact here, since 1970, marriages have declined 30%, while the divorce rate has increased by 40%. Abby, Obamacare, are they funding Planned Parenthood, and what's the danger of that bill being passed?
Absolutely. Obama is one of Planned Parenthood's biggest supporters. You know, one of the main reasons that he was elected in the first place was because of Planned Parenthood and their support for him. And if this Obamacare goes through, if his health care program goes through, it will basically be wide open funding for Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. We see now in Canada that currently abortions are being paid for up to a rate of $17,000 per abortion, and that's government money, that is taxpayer money that is being used to pay for abortions. And we will see something similar here. You know, we are working very hard at state levels to defund Planned Parenthood and to get them out of Medicaid programs. But if this goes through, if this health care program proposed by Obama goes through, then all of our defunding efforts will really be for naught, because they will be allowed to receive as much money and an unending amount of money from the federal government and American taxpayers.
Wow. What do we do about it? What can we do?
Well, first of all, we need to get involved in our elections. We have one of the most important presidential elections ever, probably in history, coming up. And we need to all be involved with the candidate. We need to all be on the same page as people who are concerned about the unborn and concerned about the state of affairs in this country. And we need to work hard to get the right person in office and to make sure that Obama is not elected for a second term. We need to be working at the state level. We need to be making sure that we are getting good people in office representing us with our same people that hold the same ideals and the same principles and values and morals that we do. We need to be contacting legislators, even those that are not on the same side as we are. We need to be still contacting them and letting them know that as a constituent, these issues are important to me. And I believe that the goal in the pro-life movement is conversion. We want conversion of clinic workers. We want conversion of women that are going in to have abortions, conversions of fathers who are trying to push the women in their lives to have abortions. And we want conversion of politicians in office. And the only way that will happen is if they hear from us and they hear our personal stories of why abortion is dangerous and why it is something that is extremely detrimental to our society.
You talked about in your book the RU486 pill,
yes,
how it was told that would be a slam dunk, no problem, but actually during your second abortion, that was a horrific time for you and very dangerous. Thankfully, you made it out alive. What efforts are being done to stop that pill from just being given to anyone now? And what about the homosexual indoctrination that has become prevalent in schools? Many times contraception is offered to children without parents' knowledge. In our remaining minute here, how can people contact you? What organizations can they support to help fight abortion?
Well, I think we are working really at state levels to try to regulate the RE46 pill. The more regulations that we put on abortion, on the abortion industry, the fewer abortions we will see. And it's going to be a little bit at a time. It's not going to be an all-over slam dunk, we've got it, now abortion is out of this country. It's going to be a little bit at a time. And, you know, we have principled efforts that are going on in many different states. And, you know, something that parents, it's really about parents getting involved with their kids and going to their school health advisory committee, making sure that they know what's being said and what's being taught to their children. I am very open to answering any questions anyone has that's been listening to this program. They can go to my website and find a contact link there. My website is abbyjohnson.org.
Abby, I just want to thank you so much for being with us today on Testimony, your life, your book, your speaking out against abortion, and your ability to reach across the aisles to those that are still trapped in the myth of Planned Parenthood and their objectives, and those that have come out of it like you have. Ladies and gentlemen, Abby Johnson, pro-life activist, her book Unplanned, a must-read. Thank you, Abby, and God bless you.
Thank you so much.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony.